What follows is a 1972 conversation with New York telephone security agent Tom Duffy. I don't recall what prompted the call, but I did start recording once the call was underway. At the beginning of the recorded segment, Duffy is describing something that happened at Bill's school, where Bill apparently had placed a free long-distance call for one of the nuns at the school, and the nun was describing this scenario to Duffy. Duffy then discusses the day in which he came to Bill's house and his mother gave Duffy Bill's blue box. This incident is also referenced on the 052 tape, Part 1. Then Duffy talks about various other things, why he took away Bill's touch-tone phone, largely because Bill was using it to control the 052 conference. The conversation goes on from there, and at some point, when it was about to end anyway, the tape ran out. I'll have some comments afterward as well.
Father, and she was, of course, excited that she hadn't talked to him in quite a while. So when she hung the phone up and started to think about it, she told him...
Didn't that cost a lot?
Yeah, and he said, don't worry about it. And she told him not to do it again. Evidently, she told Sister the head nun, and she was aware of the box, of Bill's blue box.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he described it to a T to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I entered his room, what do you think was laying on the floor next to the phone?
Yeah.
So there was a typewriter case, and which she described, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Was that before or after, Will?
Huh?
Doesn't make any difference, I guess, if they
No, that was
it.
The next night.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the... When Bill would talk to him, I talked to his mother. I called his mother, and we made an appointment for the next night.
Yeah.
And when I went out there, I described it to her. She said, he's got it, sitting up there. Come on up. And we went upstairs, and sure it was. But the nun had described it to me, almost to the snaps on the box, you know.
Hmm.
She had told him, don't even bring that back here to this school again.
Hmm.
So that's why one of the reasons I know he has tapes.
I don't think he has tapes.
If he hasn't got them now, he erased them, but I bet you he had them up until 2 weeks ago.
He might have, I don't know.
And he came home from school and found out his a new phone in his house.
Yeah, I guess he didn't like that too much.
No, he called me about that. But again, I'm sure he had said he wasn't bringing that box to school, I know, because it was home.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not curtailing him of his activities on that payphone outside.
Yeah.
So what he had, the most reasonable deduction is he had a head tape.
Mm-hmm. What, why did you rip out his touchstone? Was it because of the...
Step number one, first of all, he was fussing around with the stars and the diamonds. He had a 12-button job,
mm-hmm.
and he had figured out some of the systems, especially on that 052. He
right.
could do, he could stack. Yeah, Jay Eggersall, my son, just he figured out how he could stack them using the diamond
mm-hmm.
with the numbers. It was 1, 2, 3. No, 3 was base, I think. Cause I remember, I'm not sure. Up to 8, wasn't it? 8 on there.
Yeah.
Or 9, and he could isolate the individuals by using the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And I have recordings of him.
Oh, by the way, he mentioned that you said that on a certain particular day he had gotten up on there and demonstrated how to use it and all this other.
He was on there with a friend. I didn't recognize the voice. It wasn't you. I know your voice.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dave's, I know Wayne's, I know Steve's, I know most of the guys in L.A. and Don in Denver, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he moved down from Seattle.
Anyway, he said that you said that he did all this particular business, and it turned out that he happened to have been in school on that day.
No, this was not. He was not in school this day. This was the Easter vacation. He forgot about that, didn't he? Yeah.
Mm. What was the date?
Don't quote me. I think it was the 29th or so. The Friday.
It was the 23rd of some month.
No, negative. It was the 29th or the 28th. Holy Thursday or Good Friday, whatever.
Mm.
And he was on there for quite a while. I couldn't. I got the agent for Long Lines and announces the date when he puts the tape on. This is March so-and-so. Approximately 10 p.m., whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he proceeds, not only does he go into our computer out on the Pacific Coast, he he places the first a valid, or no, first an invalid credit card, and the computer comes back negative. And then he places a valid credit card, and it came back okay. And then he proceeded to demonstrate a few other things. In fact, he explained the whole 052 circuit to his friend, how he could stack and isolate and so forth.
Very interesting.
Then he said, well, so I asked him to do something overseas, and he said, all right, how about the time in Brussels? And he proceeded to do the 914, and I could hear the tone back from the sender.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to multi-freak again. And
you heard the tone back from the sender?
Right, you know, when you go into the overseas sender.
Yeah, well, how exactly were you tapping the 052? Was it tapping from the center of the line?
I wasn't doing it. I don't know exactly where it was. The AT&T, that was a long line circuit. And they were doing it. They just report to me, you know.
Yeah.
So he sent me down the recording.
I'd like to hear that someday.
Yeah, I'll play it to you someday.
Anyway.
Maybe in court, you know. Usually I only play those things in court.
You use tapes as evidence in court?
Oh, sure.
I wasn't aware that you could use tapes as evidence in court.
What's that?
I didn't know you could use tapes.
Oh, hell yeah. All I had to do was show the court where it's our line and no one was being paid. In the period of time that we're talking about, I produce your bill and show where you dial this into this thing. And of course, there was no mention on your bill, so therefore you weren't paying for it. Of course, it's our circuit. Even the 800 numbers down when they're not being subscribed to by the customer. You know. That's our line. Even though it's wired in the customer's premises, it's wired to intercept.
Right.
They're not being used and they're not paying for it. They pay per line. You know.
Yeah.
So that becomes our circuit. And actually, up until the time, 3 to 6 seconds after you call somebody, you're not paying for the line.
Yeah.
We can monitor that now. Our operator circuits can be monitored. We can monitor our repair trunks.
Oh, that. I've seen you do that.
We do that. We service observe on them at all times.
The only problem is that it doesn't seem to do much good. I think there's a trouble I've been reporting over and over.
May I talk to a gentleman out in Hempstead? You know, in Hempstead Tandem? And I gave him your name and phone number to... you had complained about some troubles down there? And I told him, well, here, call this. One of the men called Bill, right? The foreman in the local office? He had some troubles that they hadn't taken care of. So I said, he gave them to me. And I told the man. The man said, he's right on that one.
Well, I wish you'd fix some of the troubles in my office.
Right. That's what I said. I talked to the man in Hempstead. And I said, hey, I got a young lad that can take care of all your troubles. And I gave him a number. I said, call him. Tell him I told you to call him. And I'm sure he can list them.
With the troubles in, what tandem is he working in?
He's in the Hempstead job.
Yeah, all of them, or a tandem three,
he's
or tandem?
The supervisor of the whole office. And so
yeah.
He gave me your number, and I said, I'm sure he'd gladly give you these items.
Yeah. Oh, I've got plenty of items. I can...
Well, write them down, because he's going to, if he hasn't, maybe he can't get through to you, because your damn phone's so busy.
Right.
But I gave him your number, and I said, he... probably knows what he's talking about. Check him out. See what he's got. Maybe he's got some troubles. Take him and shoot them for him.
I know about five offhand that have improper routings. Hempstead has been doing some really rotten six-digit translating on vacant prefixes and area codes. Like if I dial a vacant code in the distant area, you used to go through to the principal city tandem and get a recording there. Now, I get stopped at Hempstead.
Oh, you get held up?
No, it's just we get a recording in Hempstead.
Oh, yes.
We get a Hempstead recording instead of a recording, like if I dialed something like 404-220.
Right.
There is no 220.
Right.
If I dialed that, I normally would go to Atlanta and get a recording there.
Right.
Now I'm going to Hempstead. It stops at Hempstead and doesn't...
Hempstead.
Yeah, that's a totally ridiculous thing because it really doesn't waste that many trunks.
Put it down because he's gonna call you.
Yeah.
I gave it to him, I think, Monday.
Mm.
And he said he'd call you, so I'm sure what the problem he's having is getting through to you.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of busy at times. But Bill gave him one in the pre-translator. And the fellow said he's right. It was starting after when it got three digits instead of waiting for the other four. It was yeah. So he said, yeah, he's got that. So he called Bill, and Bill gave him a couple others. I haven't had the results of the other troubles he gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't called the fellow back. He hasn't called me, so I don't know whether he was right. But he was right on the first one, anyway.
You know what?
Were you with Ben on that tour? I think he told me you were.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Why didn't you talk to the man then?
Yeah, I wanted to, but I never got around to it. Telling him it, and I've reported it to repair. This is a trouble where on the 593, if it calls this marker group, one of the trunks holds the caller up and continues to hold the caller up until someone else picks the trunk.
And then it drops you off?
Then it drops you off.
Uh-huh.
It disconnects the original call, but the caller, the person who made the call, is still held up on there, and it's 24 hours a day.
The originator is held up?
Yeah, the originator is held up.
How about the
the one that
the end?
The other end is disconnected. But
they drop off.
They drop off immediately, but the originator is held up on a dead trunk and continues to be held up until someone else picks the trunk, which means, in effect, that trunk is operating 24 hours a day.
Right. I don't understand. I'm not a central office man, but it seems if you're held up on a trunk, the next when the dial should override that and pick the next spare.
Right, it should.
Scan and go into a... Why would it knock you off and go into a busy? It should be told it's busy if you're still on it.
Yeah, it should be, but...
override it to the next vacant.
Well, what it's doing is it's for some reason, it's not showing up vacant. There's something very wrong with it, because we...
Do you hear him when he comes in? That should sound to me, again, I'm my central office experience, but this sounds to me that he should come in with what we call a double connection. That you would hear him.
For some reason, it tends, if I'm correct, and I think I am because we tested it out, and I think I was stuck on it, and as soon as Dave dialed it, he got stuck on it, not my line cleared.
Yeah, well, Dave's in the same. He's got the same two.
Right.
Central offices.
That last problem I was discussing there was, in fact, one of the most insidious telephone troubles I've ever seen, and it defied logic, too, because, as Duffy pointed out, a trunk that is holding you up should not appear idle, but in fact, from the test board, it did. Duffy wasn't able to help me get that problem fixed. I ended up doing it myself by just calling the central office. But he did put me in touch with the supervisor of Hempstead Crossbar Tandem Number 3. Now, Hempstead Tandem 3 was my portal to the entire long-distance network. And at the time this recording was made, there were a series of translation errors, which I was able to report to the supervisor of Tandem 3, and get them fixed. And then over the next several years, he became a very good contact. And I'm very grateful to Duffy for putting me in touch with him. It was really nice of him to do that. Now, you might wonder what Duffy did to deserve being satirized. Well, maybe nothing. But he sure spoiled our fun. He had my business office records bugged, so that any time I called the business office for any reason, they would tell him about it. Once I tried to call to order an additional phone line, and thanks to Duffy, I couldn't get the phone number and the prefix I wanted. He put me in the same prefix as my parents' line. At that point, I canceled the order. And as for Bill, Duffy first removed his touchtone. Then, after the rotary dial service was still something Bill was able to play with, he put Bill on manual service, as in pick up the phone and get an operator. This was in addition to taking his blue box and making the school that he went to no fun to be at all by eventually disconnecting the payphone. Now, we were not adults. We couldn't move out and get a phone line of our own. So this was major oppression as far as we were concerned. And so as teenagers, we sort of equalized the situation by putting Duffy in a satire. Now, Bill was never a member of Group Bell, but when Neil and I did the first Dom Tuffy tape, it was Bill who we had in mind as our first target audience. This is actually the tape that we used in order to determine whether it was feasible to do impressions of Mr. Duffy. And so I used this tape to practice saying such things as...
No, negative.
No, negative. Which is something that we put into the character, just because he happened to say it in this conversation. One thing I'm very glad about is that Neil and I took the direction we did with the Dom Tuffy tapes. There were several ideas that we had. Duffy had told me that he sent his daughter occasionally to infiltrate the meetings that the people on the conference lines would have. And Neil and I had planned to do an episode that would feature an alleged version of his daughter, and I'm really glad we didn't do those tapes and instead decided to do the Defuniak Telephone Company. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine that having made the Time Lady into a terror...
Deposit your money.
His daughter wouldn't have fared much better, and that would really have been crossing the line, but you know how teenagers are. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Duffy was a really decent guy. He wasn't malicious at all. He scared the crap out of us. And, you know, as the 15-year-old kid I was when this tape was made, I'm sure he just wanted me to stay out of trouble, and he probably contributed to that.